This month's study is on the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and tonight's message is, you're a really good Father. Amen. As I said in the prayer, I'll say it again, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He is a really good Heavenly Father. And this is how Jesus describes God the Father in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to read those real quick. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Actually, verse 9. Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In other words, Jesus is saying, if you as sinful fathers, earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more so will the sinless Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Remember, God is the author of good. Every good thing you've received in your life, small or big, has come from the hand of God. If you were believing for that bus fare a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago, and it was miraculously provided, that came from the hand of Father God. If you were believing God in the past for a week's worth of groceries, and it was miraculously provided, that came from the hands of Father God. If you were believing for more wages per hour, more money per hour at your job, and you got a raise, guess what? That miracle came, that good thing came from the hand of God in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. All right. Tonight's passage comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 21. Luke 15, verses 11 through 21. I'm going to read it and then we're going to talk about it. The parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So this is the parable of the lost son. Let's talk about this parable for the next few minutes. This younger son no longer wanted to be under the rulership, the leadership of his earthly father. God had placed an earthly father to guide this young man. But pride took a hold of his heart. And this young man must have been thinking, you know what? This is my life. I'll do with my life what I want to do with it. I'm going to ask for my inheritance from my dad before he even dies. So he wanted liberty. This young man wanted the liberty to indulge in his own selfish lusts and desires, little knowing that he'd come under the rulership and bondage of those selfish desires. You know, following his own selfish ways landed him in the place of feeding pigs and eating with the pigs. But there's good news. In verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, which to me says before this, he was out of his senses. He was out of his right mind. So he came back to his right mind. And what did he say when he came back into his right mind? What did he say? He said in verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. This lost son, this prodigal son, said these words. He says, I'm going to go back to my dad and say, Dad, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So when this son came back into his right mind, what took place in his life, in his heart, based on the words of verse 18 of Luke 15? What took place in the young man's life? He said, I'm going to go back to my dad and tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Conviction. A transformation of heart took place. He was humbled and repentant towards his father. He faced affliction. He was feeding the pigs. He was eating with the pigs. He was in a hard place in his life. And you know what? In the midst of all of that, his heart was humbled. He was repentant. What is repentance? Repentance is changing your mind from going your way to going God's way. So the Bible says while he was still a long way off, see, he was going to his father, but still while he was a long way off, his father saw him. His father saw him, and before the son could even verbalize his repentance to his father was filled with compassion for the son. He was a long way off. The father saw him a long way off, and before the son could even verbalize that he was sorry, that he had changed his mind, the father was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Isn't that awesome? And in verse 21, the son then verbalizes his repentance to the father. What does he say? Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, this earthly father in this parable was a really good earthly father. Let me say it again. In this parable of Luke 15, this father was a really good earthly father. We're going to look at verse 20 and concentrate on it tonight. But before we do that, I'd like to say this. That, you know, this prodigal son must have been living in the pain and suffering of regret. While he was feeding the pigs and eating with the pigs, he must have been living with the pain and the suffering of regret. You know, these thoughts must have been going through his mind. I would have, I should have, I could have. I should not have asked my dad for his inheritance before he died. I should not have communicated to my dad that I wish you were dead by asking for his inheritance. Had I to do it over again, I would have talked out my differences with my dad in a peaceful way. And I believe that this young man was suffering. He had the pain of regret in his life. Is that making sense here tonight? And the Bible says the father was filled with compassion in verse 20. The son started going towards the father's house. The father saw him a long way off. And as he was coming towards the father must have understood that this son of mine must be regretting what he did to me, the lifestyle that he was living. But it says the father was filled with compassion for his son. The last time I was here 3 weeks ago, we talked about this word compassion. What does the word compassion mean? What does the word compassion mean? What does the word compassion mean? It means feeling the pain of another human being. Feeling the suffering of another human being. And then taking the second step. Doing something positive to relieve that human being of their pain and their suffering. You see, I believe that this father, this earthly father, sensed the pain and the suffering of his son's regret. Let me say it again. I believe that this father in Luke 15 sensed and felt the pain and the suffering of his son's regret. And he went about to do something to relieve that son of his regret. What did the father do to relieve his son of this burden of regret? Simple, it's easy. He forgave him and loved him unconditionally. by running towards him, by throwing his arms around him, by kissing him, he was communicating to his son, "Son, I forgive you. It doesn't matter how much you disrespected me. It doesn't matter how much you hated me. I still unconditionally love you." And that son was relieved of his pain and his prison of regret. This father in Luke 15 was a really good, good earthly father. And this earthly father in Luke 15 represents whom? He represents our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. The God who created heaven and earth is a really good, good Heavenly Father. Say it with me tonight. The God I serve, Creator of heaven and earth, is really a good, good Father. And friend, maybe like the prodigal son, maybe at one time you were under God's rulership. Maybe at one time you were under God's leadership in His kingdom. You were devoted to Jesus. You were surrendered, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But maybe some bad things have happened in your life. Maybe you experienced the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a career, the loss of finances. And maybe today you find yourself blaming God. You're upset with God, or maybe you got upset with another human being. You slipped away from Jesus. You slipped away from the rulership of God the Father. And maybe you started thinking like the prodigal son, this is my life and I can do with my life what I want to do. Maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody else and you took control of your own life. Maybe you've done some bad things. Maybe you cussed out God's word. Maybe you cussed out God. Maybe you lied about a coworker and caused that coworker to lose his job. Maybe you stole money from an employer. Maybe you physically or emotionally abused another human being. And like the prodigal son, today maybe you find yourself in a pen of regret like he was in the pig's pen. Maybe today you're suffering with some regret in your life. I should have, I would have, I could have. I should not have lied about my coworker. I should not have stolen from that person. I should not have abused that person physically and emotionally. Maybe tonight you're hurting under the weight of this guilt and regret. But there's good news here tonight. There is good news here tonight. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that the God we serve, our Father, is a Father of compassion. I'm here to tell you tonight that God the Father feels the pain and the suffering of your regret and your guilt. And you know what the good news here is tonight? That God the Father wants to relieve you of the pain of regret by letting you know that He forgives you. Let me say it again. God the Father tonight wants to relieve you of any guilt, of any regret that you're experiencing tonight by letting you know that He forgives you. But you've got to be repentant in your heart like the prodigal son was repentant. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9. What does it say about a repentant heart? It says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, if your heart is truly repentant, God is throwing those sins of your past into the sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't matter the sin you committed against God. It doesn't matter if you cussed God. It doesn't matter if you cussed out God's word or if you lied or if you stole. The good news tonight is that God forgives you and God loves you unconditionally if your heart is repentant towards Him. Is that good news here tonight? You might be living in regret. You might be in a prison of regret, but don't stay in the prison of regret tonight. God has got a wonderful plan. God has got a destiny. God has got a purpose for your life. But if you keep looking in the rear view mirror of your life, looking back to your past sins, guess what? You're never going to go forward successfully with the greater thing that God has got for you. Say it with me tonight. God has got a plan, a destiny, a purpose for my life. In Jesus' name, Friend, I'm going to say it again. God feels, He understands the pain of your regret. And tonight, starting tonight, God wants to do something to relieve you of that pain and suffering of your regret. He wants you to know that you are forgiven. He sees you as forgiven. He has thrown those sins into the sea of forgetfulness if your heart is repentant towards Him. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, forgiven. Is that good news here tonight? God's got a plan for you. He's got a destiny. You're not on this earth by accident. You're not a mistake going somewhere to happen. God has got a purpose for you to fulfill in this earth and in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Just say it with me tonight. I know that my God forgives me. He has thrown my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Friend, He is really a good, good Father. You know, God also feels the pain and suffering that you are experiencing in other areas of your life. God feels the pain and the suffering that you experience in other areas of your life beyond just regret. You might be thinking tonight, you might be struggling with this thought tonight. Can God really feel and understand my personal pain tonight? Does God really understand and feel the emotional depression I am going through tonight? Can God really feel the physical cancer that's eating away at my body? Can God really feel the pain of that person who has divorced himself or herself from me? Does God really feel the pain of the financial stress and pressure that I'm under tonight? And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God does feel the pain and the suffering that you're going through in the here and now of your life. Remember this, God is omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He knows and feels every single detail of every single person of the 7 billion plus people on the face of this world. God knows what you're going through. And God is about to do a miracle to relieve you of your pain and your suffering. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Acts 10:38. When Jesus walked the streets of Israel over 2,000 years ago, He went about doing good and healing all. And what does the Word of God say in Hebrews 13:8? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. He feels the pain you're going through. He feels the hurt you're going through. He feels the suffering you're going through. God the Father and Jesus know what you're going through tonight. Don't let anybody or anything tell you any differently. Remember Lazarus. Remember the story of Lazarus. John chapter 11. The sisters of Lazarus, Martha and Mary were weeping. John 11 verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" He asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. Verse 35 of John 11 says that Jesus did what?
Wept.
Jesus wept. He was moved with the pain and the grief of Martha and Mary. And if you read further on in John chapter 11, what does Jesus do? He does something to relieve Martha and Mary of their grief. What does He do? He raises Lazarus back to life. He brought him back to life. Jesus wept. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion concerning your tough situation tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Only you and God really understand what you're experiencing tonight. But God feels your pain. Jesus feels your pain. And they want to do something to relieve you of that pain and suffering starting tonight, October 2nd, 2016. But there's something He requires of us. Something He requires of us. What is it? What is God looking for in us? In the case of the prodigal son, He was looking for what was required? A repentant heart. This prodigal son was once backslidden, but he repented. He was contrite in heart. There's something that God is requiring of us for Him to relieve us of the pain, to relieve you of the pain and the suffering that you might be going through in your life tonight. What is that thing that God is looking for, that God is requiring? Plain and simple, it's faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me that says that with faith, it is possible to please God. What's the one thing that really honors God? It's faith. It's that knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God is able to do for you the thing that He promised you. If He's promised you financial relief, He can do it. If He's promised you physical healing in your body or reconciliation of a broken relationship, God can do it. But He wants you to believe Him for that miracle. You've got to know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God is good to His word. God is not a man that He should lie. God is about to do a miracle in your life, but He's looking for childlike faith. He's looking for doubtless faith. And God is looking for persistent faith. A faith that does not quit when it looks like the miracle is not coming. God is looking for a faith that does not quit when it looks like the miracle is not coming. Abraham believed God how many years for the promised son? He believed God 25 years, and then Isaac was born. How long have you been believing God for your miracle? A month? A year? 2 years? Several years? Keep on keeping on with your faith in God. Don't give up. Keep your faith strong. And how do you strengthen your faith? How do you strengthen your faith? By getting into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Not just once in a blue moon, at Easter, at Christmas. You've got to be in the Word of God, reading it, meditating on it 7 days a week. You might read only a few scriptures a day, a chapter a day, but you've got to be in this Word consistently. This Word is going to grow your faith. As you get into the Word of God, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. You see the miracles that Jesus performed while He walked this earth. And the same Jesus that did it 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that will do it in your life. He is no respecter of persons. Is that good news here tonight? You got to get into the Word of God and look back to the miracles that God did for you in the past. And that strengthens your faith. He provided you bus fare maybe in the past, or a week's worth of groceries. If God did it for you then, He could do it for you in a bigger way in the here and in the now. You might be needing rent assistance for the future. If God did it for you way back then, He can do it for you in the here and now in a bigger way. Is that good news here tonight? We serve a God of compassion. He feels your pain. He feels your hurt. He feels your suffering. He knows what you're going through in your life. And He's about to do something to relieve you of that hurt. All He's looking for is faith.